Listen.
All right, it's that time again. Time for living the good life. Right here on TantalkNetwork.com. We're excited to be here in the studio with you today. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, is right here. Coming on here in a minute when he gets himself all straightened out with his headphones and all that good stuff. And then Betty's joining us from Michigan. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and this is Beacon of Hope Ministries weekly show, Living the Good Life, now in our 12th year. Crazy, hard to believe that, Pastor Jim.
That's pretty incredible.
It is pretty incredible, yes. We've done well over 600 shows. In fact, we hit the 600 mark back on September 23rd of 2018. Mm-hmm. So whatever number this is now, it's up there. So we are just so blessed to be able to be on the air week after week right here on TantalkNetwork.com. We love Lola and the whole gang here, Ed and everyone, and we appreciate this opportunity week after week to bring God's word to our listeners. And we love Truth Talk that was on right before us, and they're amazing people. Dr. R. Rebecca McKay and Bishop G, I believe, right? George McKay.
Yes, Bishop G.
Okay, got it right. So anyway, we're just always so happy to see them every Sunday afternoon and catch part of their show when we come running in here. It's just a joy. Pastor Jim, we're blessed. We are so blessed with good friends like the McKays are just amazing. Brother Chip Collins. Just so many people in our sphere of influence, and plus our Beacon people. We're blessed.
We are
PJ.
Blessed.
We're blessed.
We are very blessed.
And you've been through an awful lot this week, and we want our listeners to know that you lost your dad about 10 days ago, and very ill, and passed away at the age of
87,
almost 88, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Would have been 88 in March.
In March, okay. And our condolences to you and your family. And while you were in Indiana, then you lost your brother-in-law,
right.
Too.
My dad passed on the 15th, and my brother-in-law passed on the 19th. So
and
it was
a rough time.
It was a rough week.
Yeah, it was a rough week. We're glad to have you back here, back home with us. But listeners, just pray for Pastor Jim and his family and all of them. There's quite a group, three sisters and their families, and big family. So he was in Indiana for several days. So
yes, but I have to say, at least weather-wise, this was a much more pleasant visit. The last time I was up there when my dad was in the hospital was when Indiana was in the middle of that polar vortex.
That's
okay. I've lived down here 10 years. I'd forgotten what that was like.
And I was up there the middle of January, right after my 12th grandbaby was born. We're from the same area, central Indiana. And I was driving around in 7 inches of blowing snow and ice. And that was just so much fun. Just a reminder of why I love Florida, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, we got Betty on, I believe. That's you, right, BT?
This is BLT.
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 Yeah, that's her initials. And bacon, lettuce, and tomato, that's her.
That's right there. That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, glad to have you on with us also, always, Betty. And 3 weeks from today, where are you going to be, Betty Thomas?
Down there.
You just
down
can't.
There where it's warmer.
You can't stay away from us, can you? You're up in that frigid Michigan and pretty cold.
Oh yeah, it's we've got 50 and 60 mile an hour winds with blowing snow, so it was we had somewhat of a whiteout driving home from church this afternoon.
And wow,
it's just amazing up here.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds really good. Well, we are excited about you coming back, and we're gonna have a great weekend that weekend, and a lot going on. Memorial service for one of our dear Beaconites that weekend on Saturday night, and so yeah, there's just a lot going on. God's blessing, and we praise His name. And Lord, we just thank you right now for this time on the air today. We give you the glory and the praise ahead of time for what you're going to get done in our lives and in the lives of our listeners who listen live or listen later on podcast. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to speak your word, to declare it in season and out of season, to teach it, to preach it, to comment on it, to let it sink down on the inside of us, to meditate on it. Lord, let the songs we play today, let the words that we speak bless so many hearts and encourage, bring encouragement to the body of Christ. And Lord, if there's anybody that catches this show that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, let today be the day of decision for that person. And wherever they are scattered around the globe, we give you the glory and the praise and thank you in advance for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Awake my soul, Chris Tomlin. Yeah, what a good way to start a show, right? Awake my soul. So, dear one, wake up. Listen to the word of the Lord today. Praise God. That's our prayer today. Awake, awake, my soul. Resurrect these bones. Yes. Oh, great words there. I realize, you breathe out, I come alive. Your word gives life to my dry bones. Your breath tells death they can ride on. Awake me, make me a living stone, a testament to your throne. Nothing satisfies like the word of God. I come alive when you breathe on me. Speak to me, word of God. Those are words right out of that song, PJ. That is our desire and our prayer today for our listeners.
Amen. It's so important what we talked about this morning. Hearing from God and being open. This morning we talked a little bit about delighting yourself in the Lord. We'll probably end up there some
today. We probably will.
I imagine so. Mm-hmm. And to take joy in the Lord,
yes,
you have to know, well, primarily that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he is.
Amen.
He is your good shepherd.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just going to turn bitter. I mean, it would have been easy this week to just be bitter, right. You know? And I shared this morning what the Lord showed me in Psalm 84, something he kind of rebuked me about, because when somebody passes, I'll put that like in our prayer requests. And God said, now make it your own.
Wow.
You know?
Right.
So, and I did.
Yeah.
You know, praise God. And it did. I mean, so often I think when we're faced with tragedy, whether it's the death of a family member or natural disaster or what, you know, whatever, we can get bitter because we don't give it over to God.
Right.
And that's real dangerous. I mean, that's kind of what they were talking about in the show before us.
Right.
Is God, we have to remember, God's ultimately in control.
Yeah, God's in control.
And whatever happens, he can turn, if we let him, he can turn it around.
Right, sure.
If I stay bitter, then.
Exactly. And that's, bitterness is no place to be. And we go back to, just to introduce this topic, we're going to Joshua chapter 14. And we know that the children of Israel ended up walking around the same mountain for 40 years. 40 is the number of testing and trial, when it would have only been an 11 to 13 day journey had they gone straight into the promised land, because they had an opportunity to do that. That was really what God wanted to do. That was plan A, I believe. And God, Moses sent spies into the promised land. And from in Numbers 13, we're not going to go there right now. I'll just tell you this briefly. In Numbers chapter 13, we find that those spies, there were 12 of them, 10 of them came back with a negative report, and two of them, only two, and we're going to talk about Caleb and Joshua today. They are the ones who came out with a good report. But I'll tell you what, this world is full of people that are like the 10 spies, that are full of negativity and full of fear and full of, despair and discouragement. And guys, if you hang around with that too long, it'll rub right off on you. It's contagious, just like a bad cold is contagious. Negativity and all of that. Betty, talk to us on that, and then we'll go to PJ on this. How can negativity and despair and discouragement permeate us when we're around it?
Well, I think that it steals your joy. It takes the things that, you know, we have to have the Word of God embedded into us, Pastor and BJ, so that when we are faced with negativity or we're faced with people who just seem to find good in anything, that's where, if we have that Word embedded in us, we let our light shine. We begin to try to overcome that negativity with positivity. And, you know, there's nothing more positive than the Word of God. And we have to
Amen.
Be open. We have to have our eyes open. We have to have our ears open so that the devil, the devil's going to work on our mind.
Right.
So we've got to make sure that our mind is clear. We have to make sure that that our mind is saturated with the Word of God.
Yes.
Through prayer and through praising and reading of the Word.
Amen.
sometimes you have to let negativity go. And that could be with just, you know, the way that you talk to people. And it could be the people that you have tried so hard, and it's hard to walk away from it. It's hard to walk away from people who are just constantly negative, no matter what you do or say.
Oh, you can totally.
You can send them cards, you can send them, you know, words of encouragement or whatever, but they still seem to have, you know, a negative connotation with everything they do. So sometimes you have to let that go.
Yeah, I agree.
It's hard. And just say, God, you take control and you handle this, because sometimes we can get into the flesh, which means that, you know, we can become ourselves, you know, not in the spirit.
Right.
And you want to try to stay in the spirit, if at all possible, when you deal with people. That's why I say, and you both may disagree with me, but I do. I feel sometimes that there was one person in my life that I had to let go of because it was pulling me down. It
sure.
was draining me.
I mean,
they walk into a room and they just totally suck all the oxygen out of the air, and you just have to just keep reminding yourself, I'm a child of God.
Right.
Lord, be with me. God, help me, because, you know, you could say things that could, you know, not be something that the Lord would want you to say, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, what your point is very well taken, because when we look at Numbers 13 and that whole story of Moses sending 12 tribes, 12 people, one from each tribe. I get that right. 12 spies into the promised land to come back with an evaluation. They were gone 40 days, it says. That's a long time. That's that same number of trial and testing. And actually, their hearts were tested as to how they were going to perceive that situation. And they came back and they started in with, well, it's a good land. It's got a lot. But everybody's stronger than us. Everybody's bigger than us. And what they were doing with that was not allowing for the power of God and how his presence in the conquest of Canaan, which was his promise to them, would happen regardless of how strong and how big those people were. Pastor Jim, you've got your Bible. I think you just turned to Numbers 13, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Because we're in there, I guess, right now. So go ahead.
Well, yeah, and it was Caleb who said, you know what? We should go and take possession of it. We certainly can do it.
Right.
And the, you know what they said, you know, the other 10, apart from Joshua and Caleb, they said, yeah, it's a great land. And look at the big old fruit we brought back. It's land flowing with milk and honey. But, and that just kind of puts kibosh on the whole thing. But there's giants there. And then, you know, down in Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, we saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim, the giants.
Giants.
We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. There's the progression. How do you see yourself?
Right.
And that, of course, is how the enemy is going to see you.
Right.
Well, I mean, that, and it says that whole night, everybody cried.
Everybody cried. Got discouraged. Yes.
And then over in chapter 14, I love this.
Go ahead.
Over in chapter 14, Joshua steps up in verse 6 and in verse 7 said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good.
Right.
If the Lord's pleased with us, he'll lead us into that land. A land flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land.
Yes.
Because we will devour them. Their protection, and in Hebrew that word is actually shadow.
Right.
Is gone. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them.
Our God is bigger.
Right. Well, and I love that. When I found out that the word there for protection means shadow.
Right.
What followed the Israelites? The pillar of fire. Okay, yep. That dispelled the shadow, the darkness of the enemy. They couldn't hide anymore. And Joshua said, their shadow's gone. It's gone. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Well, then they about stoned Joshua and Caleb. And that's when the Lord said, for 40 years... You were in there 40 days. Now for 40 years.
40 years, until that's when it happened.
Everybody 20 and over dies.
Right. Yeah.
Then
then
you
we're going to...
You're all going to die in the wilderness. And inverse, this is kind of scary. I mean, well, not scary, but just as a caution.
Right.
In verse 27...
Are you in
or verse 28. Numbers 14. So tell them, God's talking to Moses here. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall.
So, yeah, there's such repercussions for negativity and not believing God. Unbelief,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Unbelief. We started the show today with the song, Awake My Soul. You know, and that is talking about, come on, people, let's come out of our laziness. And it says here, Chris Tomlin said in this song, I come alive when you breathe on me. Speak to me, word of God. And that's what this show, Living the Good Life, is all about. Speaking the word of God, building your faith. That's why we're here week after week. Not because of any other reason, but that to get the word of God out to people and increase their faith. And we see what the children of Israel, the 10 out of 12 gave the negative report, and then they all suffered, except for Caleb and Joshua. They came out of it okay. But Betty, so often when negativity starts in our households, in our churches, or in our workplace, whatever, it's so easy to get in line with the negative report and so hard to stand up to God's report on the situation, don't you think?
Yes, because it's almost like a pipe that bursts. You can't hardly stop it, you know, unless you have something to
good point.
Permanently fix it.
Right.
And that's why we have to be, you know, just like Caleb and Joshua, we have to have the confidence. We have to have the boldness to be able to stand up and say, okay, I don't want to be a part of this.
Right.
This is something, you know, God wants the negative. He wanted the negativity to be turned around
right.
in the Old Testament. So if he wants that negativity turned around then, it still applies today.
Absolutely it does.
And we have to have an attitude of gratitude.
Yes.
We, the body of Christ, you know, the Lord, you know, may be coming, you know, anytime, we don't know. So why are we sitting around being negative? Why aren't we out, you know, winning souls, you know, being the church, the body of Christ that God wants us to be?
Amen. Well, you know why we're not? It's because a lot of times it's laziness. It's apathy, complacency. It's, oh, well, that's hard, you know, to pray more and fast and to, you know, get in my Bible. Well, I've heard this all the time and have for years. Oh, I start to read my Bible, but then I get sleepy and I take a nap, you know, and I mean well. You know, I don't know how many times I've heard that through the years, probably hundreds from people that... When you say, get in the Word, there's your answer. Get in the Word. Get a fresh word from God. And, well, I mean to. I need to. Yeah, I know. You know what I mean, Betty?
You know, and you just want to
smack them.
Slap people with the Holy Spirit.
Well, there you go.
I cleaned that up a little bit.
All right. You didn't say smack them, right? Okay.
No, I didn't say smack them like you do. I said, you got to just hit them with the word, with the Holy Spirit.
Because it's the word of God is the only thing that's going to change our lives, our emotional state, when we're discouraged, when we're defeated, when we're sad. The word of God comes in and changes us, Betty. That is what does the work in us.
It does. It sets us apart. It sets a fire in us that wants us to keep going. You know, it's just like with Pastor Jim's situation, with some other people that are going through some hardship, going through loss, going through loss of employment, is that you can sit back and you can feel sorry for yourself. I'm going to give you a little pep talk now. You can sit back and feel sorry for yourself.
You go, girl.
You can say, oh, well, you know, God's mad at me. God is, you know, God is God. He's always angry at me. No, he's not.
No.
I think sometimes when we think, you know, with like Pastor Jim's situation, he had enough faith
He had enough hope. He had enough courage to continue to take one step at a time,
right,
one step ahead of the other. Because that man sitting in that studio is a man of God.
Absolutely.
He trusts in God. There's other people that I know are listening on this radio program. They have faith in God.
Right.
They are holding on to the hem of his garment.
Amen.
Because they know. They've read the last chapter of the Bible, Pastor.
Yeah.
They've read it, and they know what's going to happen. We overcome. We overcame, first of all, by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And it all boils down to is I know that there are things that are going to happen. The devil is on overtime.
Yeah.
Has been for quite a while. And if we don't stand up, take our stand, put our stake in the ground, and tell people, you have got to stand. If you can't stand, the Holy Spirit will hold you up. We will gird you in prayer. And I think that's exactly what they did in the Old Testament, is that, you know, they fell down on their face,
yeah,
and they asked God for help.
Right.
He gave it to them. He gave it to them because they asked and believed that he could do it. And that's what we have to do today.
Amen. And, you know, we played that song, Awake My Soul, and there's that part in there from the book of Ezekiel where Ezekiel prophesies to the dead bones. And he says, come alive. That's what that song's all about. He is speaking to the dead bones. And I'm telling you today, and I know I sound like the McKays here, but there's a lot of dead bones out there in the body of Christ. And there's people that are absolutely just barely getting by with their spirituality, their relationship with God. And they're spending very little time in the Word, very little time praising God, very little time worshiping, and instead they major on discouragement and belly aching. And come on, we need to see the Spirit of the living God through the Word of God breathe life into the body of Christ, breathe revival into the body of Christ. Go ahead, PJ. We're all preaching today, all three of us.
Oh, we are, aren't we? My.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The dry bones, I fully agree. There's a lot of dryness out there. And either we awake or we perish. I mean, we're getting closer every day. And I mean, to the second coming of Jesus.
Sure.
The prophetic puzzle pieces,
right,
are falling into place.
They are.
And it's going to get worse before it gets better. And you probably both know, well, I know, Pastor, you do. I'm more or less post-tribulation rapture. I think we're going to be here for the biggest part of it. And we have to be ready. We can't afford to be complacent. We can't afford to be lazy because, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, because of the increase of lawlessness, which we're seeing, the love of many and the agape of many, the Christian love of many will grow cold.
Yes.
What are we seeing?
Oh, we're seeing
it in the church.
Yeah.
That love is being replaced by bitterness, by hatred.
That's right.
By
Gossip and slander
by, I'll just be plain out and say it, by bigotry. We're seeing that happen. We're seeing all that blaming going on in the church. That is the last place it needs to be. And Jesus warned us that that was going to happen. But he said, if you endure to the end, you'll be saved.
Amen.
You know, and it means walking in love, as hard as that is going to be, but, you know, the love of God is the most powerful force.
Yes.
Ever.
It is.
You know, when the love of God is backed up by the Spirit of God, nothing can stop it.
Amen. Woo! So that brings us to How Great Is Our God, another Chris Tomlin song, but it's so fitting right here. Our God is greater than any negative report. He is greater than any awful thing that's going on in your life right now. God is greater.
splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Praise God. How great is our God? How great is your God, dear audience member? Is your God great enough to tackle the issues that are going on in your life right now? Is your God able to keep his promises to you? Is he able to bring you up out of discouragement, despair? In Joshua chapter 14, we're looking at about verse 6. We see that the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. Now, this is after the Battle of Jericho. This is after they had taken a lot of territory. Actually, probably most of it by now, isn't it, Pastor Jim? Well, wait a minute. We get you back on. You were singing a minute ago, so I turned you off.
By this time, they had taken everything. Yeah. Most of the rest of Joshua, the book of Joshua, deals with the allotment of the land. So they had conquered it.
And they'd conquered it, yeah.
We get a clue in here As, I mean, it took about 5 years, according to the chronology here with Caleb. It took about 5 years for them, once they crossed the Jordan, to conquer all that land.
Right. That's not too long, really.
No, really, surprisingly. Yeah.
And here's what Caleb says. You'll remember what God said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me. Now, this is Caleb talking to Joshua, okay? And he says, back at Kadesh Barnea, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back an honest and accurate report. My companions who went with me discouraged. Say that word with me, discouraged.
Discouraged.
Okay? That means the courage was not there. It had been, the wind had been knocked out of their sails. The courage they had been thrown away. These 10 spies that we were talking about earlier had discouraged the people. Caleb said, but I stuck to my guns, totally with God, my God. Okay, people, there are times in our lives when people, even well-meaning spiritual people, will bring discouragement, will bring negativity. We must stand on what God has said to us, the promises that he's made us. And let's go on here. I mean, the Message Bible. That was the day that Moses solemnly promised. The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance. We're talking about inheritance here. Inheritance applies to us today. No, we are not Israelites living in the land of Israel right now, but we have spiritual land that is our inheritance. You and your children's forever. And yes, you have lived totally for God, and God has kept them alive as he promised. And now Caleb said, you know what? That's been 45 years since that happened. And then he goes on to say, and here I am today, 85 years old. Now, Caleb at 85 is reminding God and Joshua of the promise God made to the two of them back 45 years ago. You know what? Sometimes it's really hard to wait that long on God. But sometimes we have to wait that long on God. You know, Betty talked to me about that. It's that waiting thing. You and I talked about that a lot while you were down here visiting a few weeks back. That waiting on God for his perfect timing is hard, 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 isn't it?
Well, it is. It's extremely hard. I don't have an adjective that could explain it any better than that. Is that, if God brings you to it, he's going to bring you through it.
Amen.
And sometimes those times are longer than we had anticipated.
Right.
But you know what? If we stand on God's promises, what he says he's going to do, you know, it's just like sometimes these captions that say, you know, when God closes the door, he opens the window. It's because he may have something better for us on the other side.
Right.
And that's why, you know, we talked about this many months ago about being in the waiting room, you know, of an
emergency. Oh, yeah.
It feels like, you know, it's just like when we had to take Andrew to the urgent care. It's just like waiting.
Yeah.
And waiting. Everybody else is going in that, you know, came in before us, but we had to sit and wait.
Right.
But once we got where we were going, we got exactly what we were hoping for, and that was a diagnosis, you know, medication. And he was on his way, and he's feeling better.
Great.
So even though sometimes we have to sit in that waiting room and we see other people going in, we have to have the faith. We have to believe that, you know, it's coming to us. And he's going to give us the desires of our heart. He is going to be the God that he says he is. That his promises are true. And again, I know it's hard. I've had to wait on some things and still waiting on some things, but I'm not going to lose hope. I'm not.
That's the key right there. We can't give up. No.
No, we can't. We cannot give up, because that's what the devil wants us to do.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, give up. You know, God's not, you know, you're not important to God. You're not loved. You know, whatever you're waiting on, he's not going to give it to you because you don't deserve it. You know, that then in starts condemnation, starts the negativity. You start losing faith. You start losing hope. So once the Holy Spirit
gives you that still small voice and says, don't let him distract you.
No, absolutely.
I am the God of provision.
Right.
I am going to give you what you need.
Right.
And that's the key right there. I'm going to give you what you need. And
amen.
He's just that way. He's just that good a father to us.
Oh, amen. Well, it takes us back to Joshua chapter 1, because we've been in this series, Promised Land, for several weeks now. We're going to wrap it up next week, I think. Anyway, Joshua chapter 1, God says to Joshua, okay, over and over again, as I have been with Moses, I'll be with you. Wow. People, as God was with Moses, he can be with you. And then he says several times, be strong and courageous. You know, it's easy to lose our courage. It's hard to stand strong and remain courageous no matter what the circumstances are. Pastor Jim, talk to me about that. Be strong and courageous.
Well, yeah, and that was repeated several times.
Several times. Seven times, actually, between the book of Deuteronomy, when it was first given through Moses.
And then through the beginning of Joshua.
Yeah, seven different times.
And, I mean, that's important. Be strong, take courage. And it applied to Joshua. Obviously, he was leading the Israelites. It applies to us. I mean, it's such a wonderful promise. God says, be strong. Well, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might in Ephesians chapter
right.
6.
Yes.
It's not our might. Well, in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power,
right.
but by my spirit
says
the
Lord.
And you mentioned an inheritance that
yes.
Joshua was going to get. Can I read just a little bit out of Ephesians chapter 1?
Oh, yeah, because that's where it is. Ephesians 1. Paul understood the inheritance
yeah,
concept,
he did.
Didn't he?
Yeah, and this is the NIV, so it's going to, starting with verse 11, in him you were also made heirs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Most of them said you've received an inheritance. In Jesus, we have been made heirs. Also, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works all things, works out everything in conformative to the purpose of his will, in order that we, who put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guarantee
oh,
of
yeah.
our inheritance.
Praise
until
God.
Until our redemption.
Woo, yeah.
The Holy Spirit is like the seal.
Yes,
the confirmation that, you know what? You got an inheritance.
Right.
You know, you've got an inheritance.
And this inheritance doesn't just apply to Caleb and Joshua and the children of Israel. Back then, 1,300 years B.C., so that's like, what, 3,500 years ago or 3,200 years ago, whatever. It's not just for them as far as land. This is also for us in the spirit. Taking our inheritance means that we do learn to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any way harm us. We learn to be more than conquerors because of the blood of Jesus, right?
Exactly. And I just went through my mind. It must have been pretty frustrating at times for Caleb and Joshua. It's like, oh, great. I got to walk around this desert now for 40 more years, thanks to you all. And maybe they didn't
exactly.
do that, you know, but I mean, that's a tendency.
Sure.
Thanks to you all, I get to watch you all die before I get my inheritance.
Exactly.
And yet, you know, we don't see that, thankfully, because that'd be pretty discouraging. But I just can't help but thinking there were times when they probably got frustrated.
Right.
And yet, God kept Caleb.
Yes.
You know.
He's 85 years old,
and he's just now coming into his inheritance.
And Joshua, too. He was
about the same age.
Yeah. The same age, exactly.
Right. And you stop and think, I mean, Moses waited 40 years.
Right.
Before he got his calling out in the back, as King James says, the backside of the desert.
Moses was 80 years old.
80 years old when he started leading the Israelites
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Abraham was 75 when God right. said, you're going to have a son. He had to wait 25 years.
More years. So he was 100 when he finally had the child. So, guys, our point here is be strong and courageous. In the original Hebrew, the word courageous means this. Be on your feet, observant, alert, ready to move, and ready to act with clear-cut direction. Listen to this song.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation
perfect song, right?
that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines. While our families slip away, where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way on our knees with lifted hands, make us courageous. Lord, make us courageous. This is our resolution, our answer to the call. We will love our wives and children. We refuse to let them fall. We will reignite the passion that we've buried deep inside. Become warriors, let the men of God arise. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous. Lord, make us courageous.
War of the Minds. Dear one, that's what God wants for you. For you to learn to be courageous. Be on your feet, observant, alert, ready to move, ready to act with clear-cut direction. In other words, that you're not just laying down and let the devil prounce. I'm trying to say two words at the same time. Prowl around and trounce you into the ground when you're in your emotions and in your mind. God wants you to be courageous, to stand strong. In the Hebrew, strong means to take hold of it. Don't let go of it. Hang in there. Be stubborn. That's what God wants. And Caleb and Joshua were the only two spies out of 12 who came back with a report of, hey, our God's big enough to do this. If God promised it, he's going to do it. Talk to us, Betty, and we're going back to Joshua 14 here for a moment. Go ahead.
Well, I think that, you know, through all of this, it took courage, but it also took endurance. You know, you had talked about this many months ago about the endurance in the race that we have to win. Well, that's a race that they were trying to win, is to get people all in a, you know, get all their little ducks in a row, so to speak. And it just takes one to start a fire and to start a negative fire. There's a good fire, there's bad fires. And so once you start that negative fire, it spreads rapidly throughout the body. And once they stand, and once they took a stand, I think that the body knew that they were ready to move, that they were going to move, and they had to move because of the faith that it took in those men to stand and say, we can do this, people.
Yeah.
But you still have those negative nannies that, you know, that sit back and well, you know, we can't do this. Well, if they see you, you can get left. You know what? You can either get your motor started and get going with us, or you can stay behind and see what happens. It's just, we have to have that motivation that the Holy Spirit gives us. What that song said, the war of the mind.
The war of the mind.
Can have a drastic effect that once you reach that negative connotations. You want to talk about a war? Yeah, it is definitely a war.
But
you've got to stand against the enemy, because he is coming to prowl and to knock everyone down as far as he can get them, and then stomp on them.
Right.
But we have to remember, we have the power. We have the authority.
Amen.
That God has given us to be able to stand and stand Ooh. Strong.
Amen. Comment, Pastor Jim. Good stuff, Betty. Woo.
Well, first, I love that song. And there's that one part where they quote Micah 6:8 about, you know, seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Micah says, this is all God requires of you. And I think that's exemplified in Joshua and Caleb. They were righteous when they brought back that report. And they did walk humbly with God. Otherwise, I mean, they trusted in God. You can't trust God if you're all proud and arrogant. So, you know, they trusted God. They believed the promises of God. And just the fact that it wasn't just the 10 spies, but they talked to everybody else.
Oh, they got the whole camp.
The whole camp went with the negative thing.
They were ready to pack up and go back to Egypt as slaves. Even, take us back there.
And yet, you know, we think, well, how foolish of them. But how many times in our lives and our lives of our listeners have we thought,
I just give up.
I just give up. It was easier when I was a sinner.
Right.
You know,
I'll just roll up in here in a fetal position and
just let
feel sorry for myself.
Right. I mean, I love that old song by Keith Green, "So You Want to Go Back to Egypt."
Right. You know, that was a good song. Yeah.
You know, sort of that same thing.
Right.
Why would we want to go back into that which kept us in bondage?
Right.
And yet some people do. You know, whether it's more comfortable or we just never shook it off all the way or whatever. Some people are just would rather go back to Egypt instead of trusting God, because that takes work.
It takes work, and it takes faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans
chapter
10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you know how you're going to increase your faith? You're going to get in the word. And here's where it breaks down. I've been pastoring many, many years now, folks. And I will tell you that I can preach a sermon that's fire hot. And people are, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you ask them 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, have you been in the Word? Did you get that down on the inside of you? Well, I've been awful busy, you know. Hey, then what happens when we hear and we're admonished to be in the Word, to praise God more, to fast and pray, to worship God with music? What happens when we let our days go through a whole 24-hour cycle and we haven't talked to God? What is wrong there, Pastor Jim? I mean, Joshua and Caleb, they stayed faithed up.
Right.
Right? They stayed faithful and faithed up. And these other 10 were off in their emotions thinking about, oh, well, what if we get killed doing this? Right.
Well, exactly. And you know, it's hard. I can tell when I maybe something happens in the morning, I don't get a chance to have my quiet time, read my Bible and pray. the rest of my day is pretty.
Isn't that the truth? If we don't have, you know, that time,
even if,
yes,
even if nothing bad happens,
yeah, it's still, you don't feel right. Something's wrong.
Kind of gray. Yeah, it's still kind of gray.
You know that you would miss something,
right?
Yeah.
And I need to do that every day. I need to gather manna every single day.
Amen.
Just like the Israelites did, because If I don't, I miss that connection with God.
Yeah.
And one thing I read this weekend concerning Joshua is, before they built the tabernacle, they had the tent of meeting.
Yes.
Which is where the glory cloud would come down. Moses and Joshua would enter.
Right.
Or Joshua maybe would stay outside. But after Moses left and his face was all shiny, Joshua stayed there.
Right.
You know, he stayed in the presence. The tent.
Yes.
And I think that's important, is we need to always have that conscious presence, knowledge of the presence of God.
Yes.
Through the word, through prayer,
amen,
through praying in the spirit.
Oh, yes.
We need to be, to have that awareness, because that is what gets us through.
Amen. We're going to talk so much more about this in a second hour, and we'll have a whole lot of great music. And Betty, talk to us about the prayer line that you and Pastor Jim and Shell handle. Why is that important? And invite our listeners to use it, will you?
Well, one of the things that we have the privilege of doing is praying for each other and praying for the body of Christ. So if you have a need, no matter how big, no matter how small, God cares. And what we do is, if you send us a prayer request, we actually attach a prayer to that prayer request, and we send it out to the prayer warriors, and we boldly and confidently approach the throne with those prayer requests.
Amen.
So what we encourage you to do is to send us a prayer request, no matter, again, no matter how big or no matter how big or how small, to prayers@bohmglobal.com. And if you would like to be a part of this mighty moving force, you can, again, send, please add me to the prayer team. And again, send that to prayers@bohmglobal.com. Also, you know, along with prayers comes those praise reports.
Yes.
And we encourage you to let us know,
oh, yeah,
you know, how things are going. I know Pastor Jim and I, we keep track, and I'm sure Shell does too, of, you know, following up with those prayer requests and getting those praise reports out, because that's the giving, the thank yous and the praises that we want to give to God, that he's heard our prayers, he's answered them, and we want to just thank him for the mighty God that he is.
Oh, amen.
Again,
amen.
Prayer.
Go ahead.
At bohmglobal.com.
Good job there. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Exactly. BOHM stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So we have recently just changed over our platform on our GoDaddy server for our website, which is bohmglobal.com, www.bohmglobal.com. It's been updated, and it also has had the security license applied to our website, so it's a secure site. You can go there and not be concerned that you're going to get some kind of a virus or anything else. bohmglobal.com. Check it out. On the homepage of bohmglobal.com, go to the bottom and go to donations if you would like to send an offering for these radio shows. Open donations, it'll open PayPal, and you can give that way on this secure site. So, Pastor Jim, on Thursday nights we have Go Yard. What's that all about?
It is a life coaching program.
It is, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Moderated, facilitated by Dr. Angel Falzone and by you and your alter ego as Mama Mac.
Mama Mac, yeah.
And it's just, it is, it's life coaching. It's topics of importance